Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Noach. So the Chizkuni starts with the first pasuk is Ela told us Noach. So he brings the medrash that Ela always means Pasal HaRishonim. When you say Ela told us Noach, you mean to say it's almost like the word Ella in Gemara. It means what was beforehand is bad, what's coming up is better. Ela told us Noach is Pasal HaRishonim. What came beforehand was not good, what's coming up is better. So the last parsha was talking about Yetzulev Adam Rak Rak Kol Hayom, that people were thinking negative thoughts, it's the Dor HaMabul, and they were all evil. And then Ela told us Noach, Noach is better. So that's going to come up again later in the parsha, which is why I'm mentioning it, another version of that. Okay, but we'll get back to that. Okay, so we're talking about the Dor HaMabul. So what did the Dor HaMabul do wrong? So one of the things that Torah mentioned is Vatimalei Ha'aretz Chamas. The land was filled with Chamas. So what is Chamas? Or today, maybe we'd call it Hamas. What is that? What is the sins of Chamas? So the Pashpashad is it's some kind of theft. It's Gezel. Some type of Gezel, which the Chizkuni brings. But the Chizkuni brings Hamas is other things. Hamas is, he says, Gili Arayas. As it says, Shnemar Hamasi Vesheri. So it's adultery, immorality. Hamas is Avodas Kochavim, Shnemar Vyeshuvu Lachisuni. Hamas is also idol worship. Hamas is Shvichas Damim. It's also murder. Shnemar Mechamas Benida Asher Shavchu Damnaki. So Hamas is a catch-all for a lot of the Averus, the big three, Gili Arayas, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, and Gezel. So the terrorist organization was aptly named. Anyway, that's Hamas. Hamas is all kinds of bad stuff. So the world is filled with Hamas. So Hashem tells Noach to make a teva. He's supposed to use a gopher and cover it and pitch so that none of the water gets in. So Chazal, which he brings, say that the water was boiling. It was boiling water. It was the water from the hot springs. Whatever, so it was boiling water. So if so, asked the Chizkuni, if the water of the Mabul was boiling, how did it not ruin the pitch on the outside of the Teva and make it a problem that the water would seep in? So the Chizkuni answers, two answers. One, it was an ace. Okay, that's basically, you know, the whole story of the Mabul and the Teva, all of it is Nisim. So, okay, it's an ace, didn't come off. Or, he says that this is another type of ace, but the water surrounding the teva was cold, which you may be familiar with that concept. That even though the water was boiling, the water surrounding the teva itself was cold, because otherwise, how did Og and Sichon survive? I think most people are aware that Og was hanging off the end of the teva. Well, guess what? So was Sichon. Sichon and Og, they were brothers, by the way, and they're hanging off the end of the teva. This is a Gemara in Nida and Daf Samach Aleph that says that Og was hanging off the Teva. Tosos brings over there that Sichon was also hanging off the Teva. So Chizkuni brings all this, that Sichon and Og, who were brothers, were hanging off the Teva. So how would they have survived? It was boiling water. Must be the water around it was cooled off. Chizkuni does not bring this. It's also famous. The Re'im, some kind of, creature, a very super duper large creature, also, it says, was hanging off the Teva by his trunk or something. So the water around the Teva was cold, was not boiling. That was also another type of ace. Okay. Then it says, Torah Tasel Teva, make a Tohar. What's a Tohar? So if you remember, Rashi says it either means a window or it means some kind of gem that would somehow provide light. So the Chizkuni says, brings those two pshatim and says, don't say it's a window for light, because the mazalos were not meshamish them. That means to say, there was no day and night. Somehow the light of the sun, or whatever it was, it didn't, whatever happened in the way the world worked, there was no day and night like normal. So the sun wasn't shining. So the opening up the thing for light would not have helped. What would that mean? Was it freezing? Was it some kind of ice age? I don't know. But the mazals were not acting normally. There was no sun and moon acting normally. Okay. Now the pasuk in Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph says Vayomer Hashem. So the Chizkuni points out, we had till now Vayomer Elokim El Noach. Elokim is a shame of Midas Adin, judgment. So that was when he's about to destroy the world. That's Vayomer Elokim. Here, when it's coming to save Noach and the animals, whatever, it's Vayomer Hashem. Okay. So he's supposed to bring two of the regular animals, seven of the kosher animals. Ish v'ishto. Does not say that by the birds, just says that by the people. Chizkuni says, because birds don't have the regular nekeva and zachris that animals and humans do, so it doesn't use the word ish v'ishto. Just an interesting thing. Okay. And the flood was going to be 40 days and 40 nights. Why 40 days and 40 nights? So Rashi says, I think it's because connected to Tziras HaVlad, that it's 40 days to make for a human to be formed, and those were formed by Aveira because of all the Gilui Arayos going on. So the Chizkuni has a different shot about the 40 days and 40 nights. The 40 is Keneged Malchus. Malchus is 40. Okay, then it should have been 39. So I don't know. And the other thing he says is that they were over the Rei Torah, which was given in 40 days to Moshe. That's the symbolism of the 40 days, which brings to mind a question, which I'm going to go out of order over here because it just brings it the obvious question. If it's a symbolism to the Torah that they were over on the Torah that was given to Moshe for 40 days. Obviously, the Torah was not given to the Dor HaMabul. So, how are they being punished anyway? Who told them not to do this stuff? Where do we find ever a commandment to mankind to not do chamas or whatever? Anyway, the Chizkuni asks this in Pasuk Chaf Aleph in Perek Zayin. When he's saying that all humans were wiped out, men, women, and children, so who told them not to do it? So he says, I'll read you the words because I think it's important. Yesh kama mitzvos shechayavim bnei adam l'shamran mikoach svaras hadas. There are things that people need to keep because it's obvious. It's svara. Af pi shelem etzav olam, even though you don't get a direct command. L'fikach nenshu, that's why they were punished. As he says, just like Cain, who did murder. Who told Cain not to do murder? Nobody. Should have been obvious. They got punished. They knew it was wrong. In other words, they weren't told, but they still knew it was wrong, even without being told. So you see, there's such a concept like that, that the Torah can expect you to do something without telling you, because it's just, you know it's wrong. If you know it's wrong and you do it anyway, so then it's an avera, which is kind of interesting. I think some suggest that about tzedakah, right? Sodom was punished for not giving tzedakah. Who told them to give stuck? Also obvious. Anyway, okay, we have in Pasuk Tezayin, going backwards, Vayizkar Hashem Ba'ado. Hashem closed, when the flood was about to start, Hashem closed the door of the Teva. So the Chizkuni says the door of the Teva had been left open because, you know, Noach didn't actually go around the world collecting animals. Hashem made an ace that they all came to Noach. Thing is, Noach didn't know when they were done coming. So he just left the door open because, you know, whichever comes in is the ones that were supposed to come in. And then, so he didn't know when they were done. Therefore, Hashem made an ace to close the door for him, by a day, blowing a wind or whatever it was, because Noach didn't know when it was time to close the door. Okay, after the 40 days, it says Hashem remembers Noach, and it's in Pasuk, Perkhas Pasuk Aleph, Yashuku Hamayim. So Rashi brings us also that the water calmed down, like it says, V'chamas HaMelech Shachacha, but the Chizkuni says, this is the raya that it was boiling. Because, you know, it's chema is when it's anger and it's boiling. Shachacha, chamas hamelach shachacha, and then it's not boiling anymore. So you see, it used to be boiling. That's what he says. So he sends out first the raven. Why the raven? Listen to this. The Chizkuni says, because ravens eat carcasses. I guess it means more like a vulture type. They eat nevelos, and therefore he figured if the water stopped, so then there'd be all these dead people lying around, and they'd come back eating carcasses. That's why he sent out the raven. And he says, I don't know if this is exactly consistent with what he said before, how can he send out the raven? Wasn't it pitch black outside? Like he said, there's no window for light, because there was no ma'oros. He says, no, there was light. It just wasn't operating normally. You couldn't tell what was day and what was night, but there was some light. So how does that fit with what he said before with the window? I'm not sure. Anyway, okay. Okay, now we have a very small point here in the Chizkuni, but it's pretty far-reaching. In Pasuk Tezvav, in Parakhes, is a very innocent comment. It says, V'yidaber lekim al Noach lemor. The Chizkuni says, lemor, what does lemor mean? You got that? All of a sudden, the whole Torah is filled with V'yomer Hashem al Moshe lemor. So he says, what does it mean, V'yidaber lekim al Noach lemor? He says, lemor means, it says, Hashem spoke to Noach to tell him. That's what it means. Dibre al Noach kedei lemor lo. Hashem spoke to Noach to say it to him. What does exactly that mean? I don't know, but that's how he understands it. It's not lemor like we think of lemor to someone else, because that's how Rashi always says it. Lemor is always to say to Bnei Yisrael. Now, or someone else. Listen to this. This is his proof. How do you know whenever it says lemor, it means, lemor doesn't mean to say to anyone else, it means whoever spoke to this person so that he would be told this kind of thing. Where do you see that? It's in Vayikra, Perek Yid Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron lemor aleihem. And he says, isn't that obvious? Lemor aleihem means to say to Moshe and Aaron. There it's got that extra words, aleihem. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron lemor aleihem. So doesn't it mean, isn't it clear there? It means to Moshe and Aaron. So obviously lemor means to say to them. I mean, not to say to others. Now, if you look at Rashi over there, that's not what Rashi brings. Rashi over there brings, it was to say to Elazar Nisamar. But anyway, maybe this is the Pashup Shot or whatever. Either way, that's what the Chizkuni says. Lemor means to say to the person themselves. God spoke to this person to let them know kind of thing, so that they should be spoken to. I guess you would say it, I spoke to them, to tell him. Whatever. I was doing the act of speaking to them so that they would know the information I'm saying. That's the idea, I think. Anyway, okay, next. It says that they brought, when Noach got out of the Teva, so he brought Olos. And it says, Vayal Olos ba Mizbeach. Like you're supposed to know what Mizbeach that is. Vayal Olos ba Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach? So the Chizkuni says it's the Mizbeach. Which is the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach that Adam, Cain, and Hevel all brought Karbanos on. Now, just to be clarified, it's not really a kasha why it says Bamizbeach. It says Noach made a Mizbeach. Anyway, that's how he understands, because it says Bamizbeach, it sounds like it's the Mizbeach. So it's the Mizbeach that was brought on beforehand. Okay, so anyway, Hashem says he's not going to destroy the world again. Ki yitzir leif ha'adam ra min ha'urav. So the Chizkuni says, the Pashup Shot is because a person's heart is evil from the time they're young. But the Chizkuni says it doesn't mean from the time they're young, it means because of their youth. Meaning from a person's own immaturity, that's why they're evil. Machmas ne'urav yalduso, a person sins. A person sins because they're just being stupid, they're being immature. Even adults can be immature. That's why people sin, because they are the ne'urav that are in each person. The child that's still in the person as an adult, that's why they sin. They're still a baby. And speak to a psychologist about that. Okay, then we have Rashi. This is just more of a technical point, but Rashi describes the seasons. Zera, Kayetz, Kor, Vachom. Rashi says that half a Kislev, Teves, and half a Shvat are called Kor. Problem is the Gemara of Metzia doesn't say that. It says above Metzia that that's called Choref, not Kor. So he leaves it as a kasha. Others answer that it's actually a toh sofer. It's a mistake. And the Rashi is going like the Gemara too. They had the word choref with the pay cut off, and they thought it was kor. Whatever it is, it's a kasha. But that's what they say, that it's the Cheskun leaves it as a question, but others say that it's a toh sofer in Rashi that's kor. Okay, next it says v'achas dimchem l'nafsho seichem. And Drosh, that Chazal learned from this, that it's not just usher to kill someone, it's also usher to commit suicide. Not only any kind of suicide, it's not just spilling blood, like the Pasuk says, L'nafsho seichem, and Rashi says, even someone who strangles themselves, suicide is usher. So the Chizkuni just points out here the obvious, that this is a response. If you don't believe in Gehenna or Gan Eden, meaning you say the Torah doesn't, there's nowhere in the Torah it says anything about Gehenna and Gan Eden, which is true, it doesn't say anywhere explicitly anything about Gehenna and Gan Eden. So you can figure it out from here. What is God going to do to someone who's already dead if there's no Gehenna and Gan Eden? It must be that there is a Gehenna and Gan Eden after death. Therefore, God is warning this person who kills himself that don't do that, or you're going to go to Gehenna. Okay. It also says, Miad kol chaya edreshenu, so maybe the Pashup Shad is Hashem will go, it means two things, basically, the Chizkuni says. One is you can't throw someone to the dogs or the lions. The person will be chayav misa for that. And all of Hashem will go after them for that. And also, the animal themselves gets killed if it kills a human, as it says, Hashor Yisakel. If an animal kills a human, we kill the animal. Followed quickly thereby, it says, it's talking about murder, and then it says, Vatam Puravu, and you have a lot of kids. So the Chizkuni brings one pshat, is don't say that if you kill someone, so then you did something, even if you killed a murderer, that you did something bad. And if you had to kill a lot of murderers, then there's going to be a shortage in the population, and you won't have Peruvu. So that's why it comes right after you to say, don't worry about it. You take care of the people who are murderers, and Hashem will, you know, you'll be zofa Peruvu. It won't be any lessening. Okay, then God talks about the rainbow. Then he's going to make a rainbow as a os, that Hashem will never destroy the world again through a marble. So how does the rainbow show that God will never destroy the world through a marble again? Okay, so the Ramban famously says, and the Chizkuni brings this too, that the rainbow looks like a bow. And a bow and arrow, when it's aimed at someone, you got the bow facing you. If you have the bow backwards, it looks like it's trying to say, you know, that you're not coming to fight. So the rainbow looks like a bow backwards, as if to show that the arrow is not pointed at earth, and therefore Hashem is a sign of peace. That's one pshat, but the Chizkuni also brings that the rainbow looks a little bit like fire. It's kind of like that. And a little bit, obviously, it's water, too. It's kind of like a mix of fire and water. That's how he understands it. It looks like a mix of fire and water. So the fire is not put out by the water. You know, the water doesn't get rid of the rainbow. And so it means that the no water will blank out the fire of this earth. Okay, then we have the story of Noach. Noach comes out and drink and takes from the grapes, and he gets drunk. So we have that story. And then it says, what exactly happened is not so clear. So there's Ham and Canaan, his son. So who did what exactly? Who saw and who... So the Chazal tell us that they, Ham or Canaan, one of them was Mesares, Noach, made Noach not be able to have any kids anymore. So it's not just that they saw Erev HaSaviv, they also made it that their father Noach couldn't have any more children. Why did they do that? All kinds of reasons. But they didn't want any more kids around. That was it for Noach. So Canaan gets cursed. When you read the Psukim, it looks like Ham is the one who did something bad. Right? The Psukim just say that Ham told Yefes and Shem that their father was drunk, but didn't do anything about it, and Shem and Yefes are the ones who covered him. So it sounds like Ham did something wrong. But meanwhile, Canaan is the one who gets cursed. So what is that? So the Chizkuni says that Ham saw what was going on, but he didn't do anything. He just didn't cover his father. And then he tells everybody, he tells Shem and Yefes, and Canaan goes over and is Masaris' father. So Ham did nothing. That was not good, but didn't do anything negative. He saw what he saw. He goes over and tells Shem and Yefes. But before he gets a chance, Canaan goes over and is Masaris Noach. Now Noach can't have any kids anymore. So Canaan obviously did the worst thing. So that's why Canaan gets cursed. He also says that this is why... He brings a Chazal that this is why an Eved Kanani, you know it, a Gaisha Eved, an Eved Kanani is Yotzi B'Shein V'Ayin. If his teeth gets knocked out or his eyes get knocked off, he goes free. Where does that come from, that idea, Shein and Ayin? So the Chazal say from here, because Ham / Kanan was Vayar Vayagin, right? He saw what was going on with Shem. He reported what was going on. I'm sorry, he saw what was going on with his father and he reported it. That's why an Eved Kanani goes out with Shane and I. Anyway, but this is why Canaan got the worst curse, because he did the worst thing, according to this. And why did he get punished? So this is two Chizkunis. People were named in the olden days after what would happen in the future, because they had Ruach HaKodesh. So it was kind of like that with Canaan. Canaan would be Muchna, he was cursed to be an Eved. He would be Nichna to people for the rest of his life. For all generations, he would be an Eved. Canaan becomes an Eved. Later on, we'll see another example of this. Peleg. Peleg is, the Pasuk says, explicitly, Ki biyamav niflaga ha'aretz. He was called Peleg because in his days, there was the Dor HaFlag and the world was split up. How'd he know to be called that? So that's what he says. They used to know, they used to have Ruach HaKodesh, and they were able to say what would happen in their kid's lifetime, and they named the kid after that. But after that is no longer useful. We can't do that. We name after our fathers. That's the Chazal from Rishon Ben Gamliel. We today, who don't have that name after our fathers. Okay, then we have the names of some of the people who came after Noach, Bnei Gomer, whatever. So if you look in Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel, it says, Kitim Medodanim. It's in the list of Bnei Yavan. But if you look in Divrei Hayamim, so then Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, it says, Kitim Medorodanim. So we know Divrei Hayamim renames a lot of people's names, and it's meant, as I understand it, to give like a concept to it. So anyway, he brings the Chazal here that says they're called Dodanim in the Chumash because when we're Osin Ritzono Shamakom, or I guess maybe I'll use his words, when we're in the Sunim Baaliyah, when we're doing well, that's more accurate anyway. When we're doing well, so then they say, oh, you're Bnei Dodenu. We're cousins. But when we're not doing well, when we're Biridas, and then we're called, then they're called Rodanim, then they're Rodanas, then they cause us tzaras. Okay. Anyway, then we talk about Nimrod. Nimrod was a Gibor Tayed Lefnei Hashem. What does it mean? He was a great, powerful hunter before God. So he brings a couple of pshatim, but one of them is Lefnei Hashem means Alpia Dibor, like it's Xeris Hakasov, meaning he wasn't a good guy. But it's Xeris Hakasov, Hashem wanted him to be a Gibor Tayed. It also mentions Ninveh and Agav, the Chizkuni, tells us a little story that would have been nice to know 2 weeks ago. Yom Kippur. We read about Ninveh. So, Ninveh got this special schus that they had, Hashem sent a Navi to go talk to Ninveh to save them from destruction. So, Chizkuni brings, he says, Nimtza b'medrash. Then how come Ninveh got this special schus that Hashem sent a Navi to go help them do tshuva? And he says it's because of the schus of Ashur. Asher was a tzaddik because when Nimrod came and wanted to start with the Dor HaFlaga and make people go off the derech, he left. Vayetze Asher, right? He left. Rashi brings that too, that he left because he didn't want to get involved with them. So he was a tzaddik. So Bizchus Asher, Hashem sent Yonah many decades later to save Nineveh. But he says, this is the end of the Medrash he's quoting, in the end, Asher ended up no good too. I don't know if it means Asher himself or his descendants ended up no good, as we all know if we've been saying Perek Pei Gimel enough. Gam Asher Nilva Imam. Asher is the bad guys. So in the end, Asher went off. So again, I don't know if that means Asher himself or his kids. Probably his kids. Okay, so in Perek Pasuk Lambeis, it says, Eilu Mishpachos Bnei Noach. So the Chizkuni says, if you're counting all the banim in this parsha, you'll see there are 14 for Yefes, 30 for Cham, 26 for Shem. That's your 70 nations. Okay, you want to know where the 70 nations come from? That's it. Those are the Rashi Mishpachas, the 70 names, 70 children mentioned there are the 70 Mishpachas with the 70 languages. Now here's the kicker. He says that when at time of Dor HaFlaga, which is the next little bit, at the time of Dor HaFlaga, it wasn't that there was one language, which is what the Pasuk certainly sounds like. They all spoke Hebrew, presumably. But it means that they all spoke the languages. There were always 70 languages for the 70 nations. Just everybody spoke everything. So what would Safa Achas mean? I guess he understands it means that everybody understood each other. Everybody could communicate with each other. But there were always 70 Lashonos. It's just everybody knew everybody else's Lashon. So that's like one Safa. But after Dor HaFlaga, it says, Asher lo yishma'u ish svas re'ehu. People would not know each other's svas. And Hashem did not create new languages. In kol dar v'chadosh tachas Hashemesh. Hashem did not create 69 new languages. Rather, the 70 languages were always there. And it's just everybody knew all of them. And then it became that everybody forgot each other's languages. So that's what was happened with the Dor HaFlaga. Okay, and what was the Dor HaFlaga trying to do? So he says, ready for this? Hem bikshu levatal mashagazer milu haaretz. Hashem had said that the humankind should fill up the earth. That's what they did wrong. They wanted to have one central location where everyone would be, so the people here who built this big tower would rule over all of them. That they should all live here, and I'll be in charge. So that's what he says here. Bikshu levatal mashagazer kadosh baruch milu haaretz. Therefore, Hashem midikanegem mida spread them out all over the place. Okay. Then we have Eila told Hashem. If you remember what I said at the beginning of the parak, of the thing of the parsha. Ela told us Noach says Ela told the shame. Here comes again. Again, Kol Makash Nemar Bo Ela Pasal Sarishonim. So here the ones before shame were married by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the children of the others. So told us shame are the ones that followed Hashem. They were tzaddikim. And that's it. We'll stop here.